that you guide us in, and especially pray and thank you for your word. And we pray that as we look into it in the next few moments, that you will guide us all by your Holy Spirit for your glory, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Amen. Larry opened actually this morning. I can't read this. I love Charles Stanley Spurgeon. I've heard of Charles Stanley Spurgeon. He was a great evangelist just about the time of David Livingston in England. Preacher, his Prince of Preachers, they call him. And he wrote this, he had some prayers in one day, and it comes from Valley of Visions. And it's called The Deeps. And this is what he wrote. Lord Jesus, give me a deeper repentance, a horrible sin, a dreaded approach, only chastely to flee it, and jealously to resolve that my heart shall be yours alone. Give me a deeper trust that I may reach myself to find myself in you, the ground of my rest, the spring of my being. Give me a deeper knowledge of yourself as Savior, Master, Lord, and King. Give me deeper passion by prayer, more sweetness in your word, more steadfast grip of its truth. Give me deeper holiness in speech, thought, and action, and let me seek more virtue apart from you. Thou deepen me, great Lord, heavenly husband, that my being may be a still field, the roots of grace spreading far and wide, until you alone are seen in me. Your beauty golden like summer harvest, your faith fruitfulness as autumn plenty. I have no master but you, no law but your will, no delight but yourself, no wealth but that you give, no good but that you bless, no peace but that you bestow. I am nothing but that you make me. I have nothing but I receive from you. I can be nothing but the grace adorns me. Pour me deep, dear Lord, and then fill me to overflowing with living water. Boy, that's quite a prayer. And I just love the way Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and if you hear me from time to time, you know, I quote Charles Haddon Spurgeon. But then we go to Matthew 21. I have a number of scriptures this morning on this subject, but Matthew 1:21 stated, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And therefore he shall save his people from their sins. And some of you know I like to ask questions. What is one of the hardest things that many of us have a problem with? From youth to old age, especially in this day, with all the instant communication, you know, instant this, instant that, boy, you know, you can get anywhere in the world and you can get information instantaneously. Well, I would think that the task of waiting, is one of the hardest things to do for many of us. And I have a little bit of a hard time waiting for everything to be better. We do like a word instant in this day and age. Now, as we consider the word, wait for it, wait, and how it applies in our life, I would like us to take a look at a short sermon, which is very powerful and meaningful. So if we can turn to Psalms 130, and I'm just going to read this word, right? It's gone. But eventually, this, if you're looking at Psalms 130, you'll see that there's a general version, and in the King James Version, which is normal, but it's different. It says a song of degrees. And some of you will have the word ascent, as other translations have attached to them. There's a number of different opinions on what this title means. Personally, I like the explanation that a gentleman I'd like to read some of his commentaries, David Husick, he attaches to it. He says,
This psalm is another in the series titled A Song of Ascents. Psalm 130 begins with a personal testimony of God's rescue from the depths of guilt. From there, the author ascends step by step to a place where he can give confidence to others in their trust in God. We call this psalm also a song of a wandering saint. A man who's not astray, wandering off the right path, but doesn't stay in the wilderness of iniquity. It's kind of good for you might be reminded of the prophetic story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, the son that leaves his father and his brother, and he goes and lives in the mountain, and he goes and he eventually ends up in the kingdom, with the pigs, feeding the pigs. But you know something, just going to be just as a sign of this is a parable of salvation and eternal for the believer. Because, you know, he left the thing. He went to the pigs. He sounded like a thing, but he looked like a pig after a while. But you know what? His DNA wasn't changed. He wasn't a pig. He was still a son of the Father. And that to me, along with other references in scripture, points to the eternal security of the believer. That's a little sign. Now, as I was studying Psalms 130, I get to reading it in a minute. I came across some interesting facts about it's a fact of the kings in the past. I love history. I love that. Well, this is one thing that you know about. I'm not certain about David or Lisa, but I love history. It's very good. And some major individuals in the past. John Pratt wrote Luther. When he was buffeted by the devil at Boulder, and he broke the and said to those about him, come, let us stay in our sleep, out of the depths, and something, and the origin of the devil, and surely this is a friend of great comfort from all in distress. So there's not a major song that Luther used. And then James Ball stated, I think when I see him, is his heart was strengthening. For salvation. John Wesley, who we speak about in great event, was as into the Baptist church that came called Cathedral, in the course of which something 130 was founded by the Cathedral. Wesley was greatly used by the church of an education of the means God gives to open his heart to the gospel of salvation. And from 130, one of the major things that the Lord used to open the hearts of all the So in the song, let's just read that. Under the depths that I find in thee, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice, let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waited by the Lord, for the Lord, day which watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. That Israel hope the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So the psalmist starts out with a cry. Not just some little whimper. Not just some little, you know, reminder of a new No. But a deep, deep heartfelt cry from the depths. And the scripture, I was thinking, who else had a cry like this? Well, Jonah. Chapter 2, verse 2 stated, and he said, I cried by reason of my afflictions unto the Lord, and he heard me out of that belly of hell. Cried out, and thou heardest my voice.
and also in Invitation Street 55. I called the individual who wrote this. I called him by name out of the low dungeon. Have you ever been in a deep, dark place of fear, danger, or oppression? Maybe not today, maybe sometime in the future. Or when the terrible grief of sin has us in the depths. Not that terrible in some vicious death, or in the dark for roaring imprisonment, but in a dungeon, so to speak. You know, this, when you see this cry of distress coming in, you can picture, we don't know where the psalm was supposed to be quoted, but you can picture it's in this deep, deep dungeon, so to speak. And sometimes we get ourselves into these dungeons. Maybe not by itself, or maybe as part of an action. We're in this deep dungeon, so to speak. Terrible weight of sin. That's us in the depth. You feel like you're traveling. In this day and age of so-called enlightenment, depression and fear are so common. So where does this promise drive us from? Two of them. Or maybe $200. Whoa. No, he directs his promise to Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty. He knows who to direct his promise. So the question is, where do we direct our promise? Where do we go? Mr. Kingdom stated, self-help is no answer to the depths of distress. How dangerous will it be in the shadows of self-pity? And I like what Mr. Nader stated. Like you find out people who are united because they know a lot more than you. Mr. Nader stated, a hundred lessons from the breathing of the way you go. They will tell them so much. The soft, measured breath or the lingering, gasping breath. God never points his ear from the reading or from those in our connected place. Which expressed as words could not do the deep anguish and yearning of the heart. If you cannot speak, cry, sob, or groan, then be still. God can interpret all. Yet many times the most beautiful, heartfelt, sincere, faithful prayer comes at a time when we are bound by the darkness or trouble in the sin. Now, interestingly, in the first line of the word, Lord is used, which is all capital letters, which translates to Yahweh, as I mentioned, Yahweh, Jehovah, which is the regular name of God Almighty. Now, the psalmist, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he uses the word name Lord, it's important, twice, but there's a difference in letters. Creator of the heavens and the earth. In the second line, the piece of the King James, it says, Lord, before the Jesus, with capital L first. It's used for the same God, but it's translated as Master or Leader. Mr. Trout again states that Jehovah is God's God's new thing, faithfulness, and his promise from the very beginning. It's called a new thing. Marks his lordship over all hindrances in the way of his deliverance. It's very interesting. Mr. Fawcett stated, Mr. Kraft stated, twice he heard the Lord's command to be holy in his own needs. So he's in the form of this promise, but hold on, the Lord God in the name of his name. The Lord, I don't know. What did you? It's comforting. It's encouraging. The capital E. Do we need comforting? Do we need help? The Lord Jesus Christ is the cry of it. Some may live with a specific sin of the psalmist. What was he crying out? I don't know. But what is the answer to the
when we are faced with sin, we find utterly unfulfilled. Sin is fatal.
1 John, my favorite verse, 1 John.
If we can confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins
and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yet the cry goes out.
Men fight for the Lord who hears, but the Lord is dead.
But the psalmist confirms, he just quiet. It's important.
Important. Mr. Spurgeon states that there are prayers to be heard and answered. If the Lord were to be an excellent promise to the people of all us,
it would be one of the first and blessing.
I'm not going to do it. The name of them claiming for help should consider his faith.
Now, we think about his claim for powerful, truthful, life-changing statements that are found loud and clear for our own names. And I need to read them again in verses 3 and 5. If thou, Lord, didst not believe in these, only for who says thank you. But very important to thee that thou mayest be feared.
Unmerited grace. We cannot endure the strength things that we have stand before on the Almighty God and we are mistaken. Deadly mistaken. If we can think we can do it on the Lord, then we will be merited.
Many, many of the centuries don't need to find the paradise with all its eternity.
Ephesians 2. 8 and 9, again, a famous quote in scripture.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, but like Christ, I was saved through faith and not through himself. It is the gift of God, not of us,
lest any man be divorced. Romans 3, 20, therefore, by the deeds of the Lord, shall we
be justified in Christ
by the law, is the knowledge of sin. And just a few verses down. All extended.
Okay. Now, you know, this again, it is not a condemnation for the believer who has faith, who is found in hearing. It's really important scriptures, but we as believers, we don't have to
understand what you said. We do need to put sometimes on the rest, and we get, and we should, and so.
But it says in Romans 8, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, they who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
This is not to diminish the seriousness of our iniquities and believers, but to realize our sin in our Savior Jesus Christ. Again, 1 John 1:9, we write with belief because we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mr. Carl states, his curse of our minds will make with me no one, but he does not want any iniquity in his children that they condemn him. So the meaning of the Psalms is that if the Lord had sinned with a strict and severe eye of death, we charged it upon the person sinning, no man could bear it. And I like the book of McDonald stated, I like this very much, it's precise and clear. There is forgiveness for the guilty sinner, who is forgiven for the sinning sinner. Yes, there's forgiveness for the Lord God Almighty. Let us not take for granted the penalty of sin and up to a greater degree of forgiveness of a merciful God. When we give to you a peace of God, we feel the importance to give peace, reverence, and honor. He's not so unbuttoned as some people in the church. He's not. He's our friend. Yes. But he's also our God in his name. And we can understand that he has reverence and honor. For he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, bear with me, I have some famous people. I believe his is good, Rob. Mr. That power of law may break the icy heart of man with terrors and horrors, and yet it may remain icy of contained. But when the fire of love kindling thought incites, it is changed and dissolved in blood. It is no longer ice, but abomination. At first, I asked a question about one of the parts that you asked. In verses 5 to 6, when you carry on, you see that the Psalms declare waiting for the Lord, waiting for you. No, I don't believe he's waiting for salvation in the sense of forgiveness, since for our repentant and heart receives forgiveness immediately. But he needs for deliverance. He looks for deliverance from the darkness of the moon. The trials he faces, the consequences of sin that we do exceedingly anyway. He looks for the Lord, the Lord is pointing to the Lord's name. Psalms did not just say, I will be blind and do nothing while he waits. You don't think of the Psalms, he prays and he's pleading the Lord. He's pleading the Lord to come in the dead. I'm just waiting in line somewhere. No, he's not under him. I need to be when we beg for the Lord to direct and deliver us from whatever the situation is. Spiritual violence is a recipe for this thought. Spiritual violence is a recipe. We need to do what the psalmist did, and that is he in God's word. In his word, in his word, in his hope, in his ability, God's word, repeated in his word. Do we stay in God's word? The Bible constantly, especially as we read to the Lord. I mean, it's hard to get. I don't read the word, you know, but I'm just waiting and just, you know, stay, God stay in our heart, but in it is the promise that God is given. Now the question was, who does the United States wait for? Where do we come from? When frauds and problems are running and going, pray that anyone here is saved by the grace of God through the blood of the Savior Jesus Christ, but maybe someone here is not saved. Please, to help God. And grant a benefit from at least in this. Yes, the wise and faithful waits for the Lord. What does she wait for? Well, he waits, or she waits more than any of God's reading. More than any of God's morning. In my Bible, when I have a written security guard, I already know the sensing of it. Now, years ago, I used to be a security guard. And many nights, long and lonely nights. And in the rain that was in the mountains, interesting how one of these for that morning light to come in and come along. You know, you sit there and you see the light coming up. Morning's coming. The morning's coming. Along. Yes, the security guard waits or watches for the morning light. It's encouraging and uplifting to see that light come forth, signaling a new day a new beginning, so to speak. The end of a dark and foreboding night. So much so for our leaving from the Lord. Our anticipation for our Lord's working and for his return again is similar in a way to the God, the security guard, waiting and watching for that money left. It's hard, yes, for we have a hard time waiting if we're honest. But remember, God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. I know David Livingston, he must have felt on it, you know. God's timing is perfect. And here this whole village who was going to meet him comes to the Lord in the process. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear it. Micah 7:7. I have that in my desk. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear it. Psalms 27, which are Psalms 27:13-14. Psalms 27:13-14. I have figured, unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let us not be discouraged as we wait for the Lord. In closing off this small but powerful song, we come to verses 7 and 8. 7 and 8. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy and plenteous redemption. And she shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Here we have switched from the psalmist being concerned with the individual to that of a national concern. The cry was out Israel, but he came out of the our nation as well. Let him meet and look to the Lord for hope and direction. For it was needed, it's now. For in the Lord is found mercy. Isaiah 55:7, let them forsake his way and be unrighteous, his thoughts, and let them return from hope. People have mercy upon them who are God's people of the mercy. There is another very important point that is brought up with this mercy. The psalm ends on a very positive note for the words of wonder. Some translations use the word blankness or full connected with mercy. Let us dwell upon these words. God's redemptive power is not in skill, in our needs, but abundant. All sufficient for the individual that seeks the Lord God Almighty, that seeks Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. For those who find the Lord Jesus Christ himself and pertains to the city, we need to by the blood of the Lord. Many times we need to be in the depth of the buildings, but in the hopelessness, to be able to see the light of redemption in Jesus Christ that is on the release. Mr. Spurgeon stated in the song of the pearl of redemption, perhaps the sweet sinner would never be found to be free had he not been cast into the depth. Pearls, blind teeth. Now also the nation that humbly speaks and looks to the Lord to find and blessing. Blessed is the nation who loves the Lord, the people and children for his inheritance. Let us be a kind people for our nation and politicians to speak to us. Not just in the sight of the things that are looking in the time of the future at the end of the great terrible that the Lord God Almighty will redeem the nation of Israel. I want to study the peace of the Lord, and it will come to me in the end of the tribulation that Jesus Christ will save Israel, the Jewish people. I believe it. And the whole spirit of Jewish and Jewish that they would be dead beyond food. We see that in Ezekiel 12, 9-11. I encourage you to look at that Zechariah 12, 9-11. You know, you won't look that up. It's a very powerful, powerful portion of scripture. So much more can we see in these verses. In closing off, I would like to share a short and encouraging thought from Dr. Constable. It's not an individual. And if you have an opportunity, there are great groups and you can get on the internet, and they just give you so much information. But Dr. Constable states, to date, God's redeemed saints, and I think you want to hear if you're redeemed by the presence of the Lamb. In all of the depth of their Christians too, we can find encouragement in the fact that God has forgiven us all in the past, present, and future. However, we can also look forward to our full ultimate redemption when we see Him. Until then, we should hope in the Lord as watchmen, waiting for the dawn of our new day, namely our glorification. I think what he said, and it is so good. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your words in Psalms 130. We just thank you for all the truths and bounds in here. We thank you for the grace and mercy of the abundant grace and mercy of the redemptive power. And as mentioned, I pray that each one here is saved by the presence of the Lamb. We can remember that the moment is the person sitting that in front struggle through this life on their own. I pray that you will guide them and lead them unto salvation in Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. We pray, Lord, that you will take each one of us, that you will guide us, that we go forth into the world to be with you in this evening. To give glory and honor to you and all that you say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Amen. Thank you. Have a great week, everyone. All the fun work that we're going to be close to the same country to develop it. Character. Remember all of us? Character.